This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
A woman comes to me one day, and she said, "Brother Lambert, I've got a serious problem." I said, "Well, is there any way I can help you?" And she begins to cry, pour out her heart. And she said, "I have found out that my husband has been seeing another woman. He's not been faithful to me." Faithfulness in marriage is so vital, so important. It's just not an option. It's understood. But when you get married, you remain faithful to one another. How long till death do us part? But God is faithful too. And the Bible describes God's faithfulness as being a great faithfulness. Today on our telecast, we want to discuss the topic, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And there's a song with that title. I think it's one of the most beautiful hymns in print today. "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Please stay tuned as we discuss that topic today. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we do appreciate your watching today. We hope that you'll stay tuned as we discuss the faithfulness of God. We need someone on whom we can depend. God is a faithful God. And we hope that you'll stay tuned as we discuss that today. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And we want to explain that course to you today. We want you to know how to receive it. And in order that you might learn just a little bit more about the course and what all that you have to do to receive the course or study the course, we're going to pause right now.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. And verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Now also I'd like to read from the book of Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, and verses 22 and 23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Today you and I need something or someone on whom we can depend. We're living some very unsettling times in our world today. And almost weekly, sometimes even on a daily basis, I have people to express their frustration to me about the day in which we live. We need some kind of a line of defense against what's going on in this world today. We need someone by whom we can hide behind, take shelter behind. And that person is God. The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And that's found in Psalms chapter 46 in verse 1. Some people are trying to hide behind money. That's their shelter. That's their defense mechanism. Some is with military power or military might. Some trust in horses, David said in the Psalms. Some in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7. Satan is on the prowl today, and is more active today than ever. And we need someone who is dependable, upon whom you and I can depend. The Bible teaches very plainly, very explicitly, that God is a faithful God. Notice the text again in the book of Lamentations. Great is thy faithfulness. And why do we need someone upon whom we can depend? And why can we have confidence in the faithfulness of God? Why? What is there about God that would cause me to put my all, my trust, my faith in Him? One is because of His mercy and because of His compassion. Now, mercy and compassion are not very common in a lot of ways in modern society. Just the opposite are very common today. But the mercies and God and compassion of God do not fail. Listen to the text again. The Lord's mercies and His compassions fail not. You can always depend upon God. That's one of the reasons I suggest that we need to have our confidence in the faithfulness of God. Another reason is because of His integrity. You know, I've had friends, and they were my friends, and I would still say that they were friends of mine. But when they would tell me something, because of their past conduct, I would sometimes question whether or not what they were telling me was true. You know, there was that question mark. You say, well, you should have trusted them. I trusted them with all of my heart. But they had betrayed that trust by their variableness, their changeableness, and by their lack of integrity in times past. But because God is a God of integrity, that we can depend upon Him. Listen to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. When God makes a promise to us, that's it. When God makes a promise, you can depend upon that promise. He does not renege on His promises. He does not go back on His promises. No, He keeps them. There's not failed one word of all of His great promise. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 56. So when God says that I'm going to help you, I'm going to be with you, then you can believe on that. And then another reason that you can have confidence in the faithfulness of God is because of His record. He's always been faithful. And when He would make a promise to someone, He would not break that promise. Have you ever had someone to promise you something, then they break the promise? They promise they'll do something, they don't do it. They promise they'll do something for you, they don't do it. They promise they'll go somewhere for you or with you, they don't do it. They promise they will attend maybe a service out of the church with you, but they don't do it. They break their promise. You don't have any confidence in the promises that they make. But there's not failed one word of all of His great promise. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness. And another reason that we can rely upon the faithfulness of God is because of God's ability. He's the God who was, who is, and is to come. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. He is an eternal God, and He's a God upon whom I can depend. But in what is God faithful? To what is God faithful? Well, first of all, I'd suggest to you that the Bible teaches that God is a faithful creator. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Not just a Creator, but a faithful Creator. You see, we can depend on God. God is the one who made man. The psalmist said in Psalms 139, verse 14, that it has been fearfully, been wonderfully made. David in the 8th Psalm said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor." You see, God is faithful in His creation because He made us. He formed that first man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that first man, Adam, became a living soul. God is the one who made the sun, the moon, and the stars and put them in their places in the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows God's handiwork, the results of God's work. And then there He is, the architect of everything there is in the universe. It's His. Listen to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 4. "Every house is built by some man, but He that built all things is God." God is a faithful Creator. And God made this world so that you and I can live in it. Isaiah said He made it to be inhabited. And indeed He did. But God is also faithful in calling us. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, there Paul wrote that God is faithful by whom ye were called under the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful in calling us. Well, if that's the case, how does He call us? Well, listen to the apostle again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. "Faithful is He that calleth you." Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 14, "Whereunto He calls you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God is faithful in calling us. He calls us by the gospel. Well, someone says, "What do you mean He called us?" Well, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He's calling us to follow Him. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Well, how are we called? We're called when we read the gospel, study the gospel, believe the gospel, and obey the gospel. That's what He means when He said we're called by the gospel. Well, someone says, "Well, what does that mean that we're called by the gospel?" Well, listen to Paul in Romans, the first chapter, verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Now, there may be many things of which we should be ashamed, but he said, "There's one thing of which I'm not ashamed, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why not? "For it," that is the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek." The gospel, the word gospel literally means good news. And it's good news that gets our attention. It is good news that pricks our hearts. It is good news that causes us to want to be followers of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of Jesus about His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, that causes us wanting to devote and dedicate our lives to Him until we leave this world. It is through the preaching of the gospel. It is through, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it is through the foolishness of preaching, not the preaching of foolishness. There's a lot of that being done nowadays, it's there. But he said it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save those that believe, 1 Corinthians 1:21. And so it is through listening to the Word of God taught that we're drawn to Jesus Christ and called out of the world to serve Him. "They shall be all taught of God. Everyone therefore that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto Him," that is to Christ. That's found in your Bible in John chapter 6, verse 45, incidentally. And so God is faithful in calling us. He calls us. And there are facts to be believed. That's the death, the burial, the resurrection, promises. There's a form of doctrine to obey, to die to sin, to be buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life, and there are promises to enjoy. And that's the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's a life to live. And that's a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, there's a fate to shun as well. And that's everlasting punishment. And so God is faithful and calling us. And aren't you so delighted to know that God loved you enough that He was willing to give us the message about Jesus? Why, He could have had that hidden to the end of time, but He did not. It was a mystery in the Old Testament. But Paul made it known in his day to the Gentile world. Peter made it known to the Jewish world. And now men are called to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And God is faithful in doing that. But then there's another way in which God is faithful. God is faithful in delivering us from temptation's door. Now, one little girl said that every time the devil knocked on her door with a temptation, she just sent Jesus to the door. And God will be faithful. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, that is, allow you, to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I believe the providence of God is involved in that passage of Scripture. I believe that God, in the realm of His divine providence, when temptation knocks on our door, provides a means of escape. And He is faithful in doing that. And He will never let you down. In James, the first chapter, verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God is not tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but a man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. Then sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's separation from God. And God is faithful to deliver us from temptation. And there was a little line in a newspaper one time, and this is what the line said, and they were talking about the weather. They were predicting the weather for the next day. "There's fair weather tomorrow with no increase in temptation." Well, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if tomorrow there would be no increase in temptation? They meant no increase in temperature. But there is going to be temptation in this life. And Jesus tells us in His model prayer how to deal with it, to pray like this: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen." We pray for help. A woman went to work in a sewing factory. And she was sitting there at her sewing machine, and she was very nervous because it was her first day on the job, And there was a sign up above her machine that read, "Ask if you need help. Signed, Supervisor." Well, the woman hadn't been working on the machine trying to sew very long until all of the threads got so tangled up and she was so frustrated. And the more she did, the worse it got. And finally, the supervisor walked by and said, "Well, what's going on?" She says, "Well, I've got the threads are all tangled. I don't know what to do. I have done the best I can." And the supervisor said, "No, you have not done the best you can, because the best thing for you to have done was to ask me for help." And when we have temptation coming in our life, and all of us have it, the only human to ever live, that is, the only person who ever lived in a human body, was Jesus, that was never tempted. Hebrews 4:15, He was tempted at all points, we're told, like we are. He didn't sin, though. And so all of us are tempted. And what is your temptation may not necessarily be my temptation. I have never been tempted to smoke cigarettes or cigars. No, never. It's just not one of my weaknesses. But then there may be other things that that I have had to deal with in my personal life. And the same would be true of you and somebody else. And that's the reason that we do not need to be judgmental one of another. We're all human beings. We all make mistakes. We can all yield to temptation. But here's what I do know, that when we are tempted, that we have a God in heaven who is faithful to us to help us deal with whatever temptation we might have come our way. I was reading 1 Corinthians 10:13 one day, and this came to my mind as I was reading it, where he said, "There's no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able," meaning there's those no superhuman temptations. But he said, "But he will make a way of escape." He will make that way. I believe that that touches into the realm of his divine providence, that God providentially, within the parameters of his divine revealed will provide some way for us to get out of that temptation or to deal with that temptation in our lives. If your temptation is to be a gossiper, I believe that God will help you with that. He will make a way for you to overcome that temptation, whatever it might be. God is a faithful God. You can. Why? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. And God is faithful in all ways. You see, God expects us to be faithful. "Well done, good and faithful servant," Matthew 25:21, as well as verse 23. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." But we can expect faithfulness of God, not because we demand it, but because, verse 22, of his mercy and his compassion, that God is faithful to mankind. Oh, how thankful we ought to be for the compassion of God, the mercy of God, and God's faithfulness. Sometimes we become careless. All people are not faithful in living the Christian life. Sometimes they get careless. Sometimes their people are just not taught. I've talked with people who have been going to church half a lifetime, and there are certain things about the living the Christian life that they had never learned. You know why? Somebody failed to teach them those things. And so it's a responsibility of a faithful gospel preacher to teach all the counsel of God. 1 Corinthians 4:11. Paul said, "I'm not shunned to declare unto the whole counsel of God." You can preach all some of the counsel of God and not preach all the counsel of God. You can preach the truth, but not all the truth. And so in order that people might know how to be faithful, we need to teach them how to deal with the stumbling blocks that come along in their lives, deal with the attitudes that come in their lives that may keep them from being faithful to God. But we can rest assured, number one, we can be faithful, else we would not be instructed to do so. And secondly, we can know that we can depend on God. He is great in his faithfulness. And in the day in which you and I live, we need God's faithfulness. I can almost see the tears falling from Jeremiah's eyes when he wrote these words in the book of Lamentations. The word Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah, who's called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah's heart was broken when he saw the condition of the people in his day. The people had ceased to worship God. The temple was in ruins. And it seemed like no one cared what was going on. And as a matter of fact, in Lamentations 1:12, he said, "Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by?" And, "Oh, hum, no." "So what? So what the temple is not, that we're not worshiping God? So what that the temple is in ruins? So what?" And he said, "Is it nothing to you?" But it broke his heart. And he said, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." It broke Jeremiah's heart. And we need a God today that can share our tears. Our world is in moral decline. Our world is in ethical decline. Our world is in spiritual decline. There's a culture war that is going on today that is attacking every phase and facet of our lives. And we need a God who can have sympathy and pity upon us and be faithful in standing behind us today. And so immorality is running wild like a stallion out on the prairie. Oh, we need God today more than ever before. And I want you to know, dear friend, there may be many things you cannot depend upon. You might not be able to depend on the weather. You may not be able to depend upon a politician. You may not be able to depend upon your preacher. You may not be able to depend upon somebody else in your family. Maybe some of your friends have let you down. But may you know this one thing for sure. God is faithful to man. He'll never let you down. And the greatest way God showed His faithfulness is when he allowed His Son to come into this world and die upon the cross of Calvary, save a world from sin. Great is His faithfulness. And Jesus died because of sin in our lives. I got an email just recently from some individual, and he said, "You made the statement that all men have sinned." He said, "How do you know all men have sinned? Do you know all men?" The way we can know all men have sinned is because the Bible says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:23. Romans 3:10 says, "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." All men have sinned and broken the law of God. Would you give your life to Christ today? You can depend on Him. He's the faithful and true witness, Revelation 3:14. Believe on Him, repent of your sins, confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and as a penitent, confessing believer in Jesus, allow some servant of God to baptize you into Christ, not because Billy says so, but because Jesus said, "He that believeth, number one, is baptized, number two, shall be saved, number three." Just that simple, folks. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. It's been a pleasure to speak to you today about the faithfulness of God. And right now, I want to encourage you to pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible correspondence course. Do that without hesitation. And also, may I encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. Now, until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Reach up and fall.